Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world, to Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Without any further ado, we're going to launch into this program, except to say that if you want to hear the program on the internet, you can. You can go to redskyradio.net, redskyradio.net. If you want to contact me, it's info@redskyradio.net. If you want to download the program, not just hear it, but download it and send it on its way, you can go to darkskyradio.com, look for the Red Sky Radio link, and you can get the podcast to this and a host of other programs, and send them on to all of your liberal friends as early stocking stuffers. Okay, let's get rolling. Good news, Kamala Harris is laying off dozens of people because her campaign appears to be imploding. Glory, hallelujah. Okay, not going to spend any more time on that, but I want to move to what I think is good news in the impeachment inquiry. Of course, as you all know, the Democrats voted to advance the impeachment inquiry. Now, this has just consumed the news. I stopped at a Burger King last night. It's the last time I'm going at least to that Burger King, because I will no longer eat at a restaurant that has CNN airing. And I tell the restaurant, I tell them, look, I don't want to eat here if I have to somewhere be in the stream of diction coming from that network, and I'm out of here. And let people know, when you make that kind of decision, let them know why you're making that decision. Because if it's sort of like the hidden rat theory. The hidden rat theory is that if you see one rat, you actually have 100 of them. Because there's just 99 that don't poke their head out. So if people understand that, one complaint probably reflects 100 to 1,000 people's feelings, at least. Okay, but why is the impeachment inquiry good news? Well, let me liken it to this, first of all. This is not an impeachment vote. It is not an impeachment inquiry. It is actually a vote to advance or continue the impeachment inquiry. Put in more common terms, it would be sort of like getting engaged to get engaged to get engaged to get married. Right? They just keep throwing up these phony little things ahead of time. This is, and Trump and the others, actually, many of the Republicans pushed the Democrats into doing this. They shamed Nancy Pelosi, who doesn't want to do this because she knows that it's politically foolish, if not out flat out stupid, to do this thing because they don't have the goods on Trump. And why don't they have the goods on Trump? Because there are no goods to get. Everybody's coming out and saying this is no quid pro quo. But the media needs to continue to fuel and feed this frenzy. I mean, they've got to have something. I mean, the left is simply has to have a certain daily dose of anger and hate to get through the day. And this is what they're doing. They're going for a short-term tick that is way, way premature. We're over, 13 months from an election? 12 months from an election. We don't know who the Democrat candidate is. I'm glad to see them accelerate this to get it out of the way earlier rather than later, but that's not the main reason I actually applauded this vote. The smart Democrats, there were a couple of them that did not vote for it. All Republicans voted against it. Several Democrats voted against it. So they can go back to their respective jurisdictions and say next fall, hey, I voted against this thing. I knew it was a boondoggle because it will turn out to be just that. It's the Adam Schiff show. It's the Adam Schiff secret interrogation. It's a Soviet-style thing. Don't let in any witnesses you don't like. Don't let out any testimony that you don't want leaked. All the stuff that's going to harm you, we'll keep under wraps. And everything that's going to hurt the object of this kangaroo court, we're going to leak. That's pretty much it. And we're just still trying to get rid of this guy who beat us in 2016. And we're afraid we're going to get creamed in 2020 unless we can knock him out by this unfair play. But I'm still not to the reason that this is really good news. I'm going to give you a legal analogy. I'm a lawyer. I think like a lawyer, for better or for worse. My wife would say maybe for worse sometimes, maybe more than just sometimes. I don't know. Sometimes she said, gosh, could you just for a minute quit being a lawyer? Well, I'm not trying to be a lawyer. It's just, this is a certain way that I think. Different people think differently. There isn't one way that's better than another. But here's an analogy that fits this situation exactly. If you were in court, and let's suppose here, just for a second here, that I'm the prosecutor. And I come into court, it's a criminal case. The opening statement, I say, and we are going to prove that Joe Schmo here bought this gun with the sole purpose of executing his wife, and that he bought the ammo for the same purpose, and he only got enough rounds to be sure that he could kill her, and we're going to show this, and we're going to show that, blah, 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 blah. So the jury on opening statement thinks, gosh, this guy's guilty already. Why do we need to have a full trial? And then the defense comes up. And whatever the defense says here, at this point, for this purpose of this analogy, is irrelevant. Because if the prosecution cannot prove everything that they said was absolutely true and that they absolutely could prove, now forget the prosecution's closing statement. Here's the defense attorney's closing statement. You heard at the beginning of this trial that you're going to absolutely prove for a fact that Joe Schmo bought a gun to do this. Did the prosecution show that? Did we not show you that the day that after that he went out squirrel hunting? They said, the prosecution said he was absolutely going to prove this and absolutely going to prove this and that, blah, 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 blah. See, it doesn't matter how you start up, folks. It matters how you end. People say the first impression is the most important. I totally disagree. Couldn't possibly disagree more. It's the final impression that's the most important. What do you want people to do? Like you when you come in the room or like you when you go out of the room? When do you want your date to be impressed with you? When you pick her up from the first date or when you drop her off at the 10th date or whatever, or at the end of that night? It doesn't matter how you start out. It doesn't matter how the prosecution starts out, except that if the defense then goes back and says, this is what they said they would do, they didn't do that. You've heard all the testimony. They haven't even come close to that. You heard him say he was going to do this. They haven't done that. They're going to say they're going to prove this. They haven't proved that. You just made the prosecution out to being a lying, hyperbolic bag of bones. And the case blows up in the prosecution's face. Why? Because they overpromised and they underperformed. Here's the legal, and that's the legal analogy to the impeachment inquiry. They are so desperate to keep the hate and anger fueled that they have jumped the gun to this. Why Pelosi, in some respects, is shrewd as a fox. And she's smart enough to know this was disaster. She's just concerned about a rebellion among her minions who are not so minionish anymore, that she had to go along with this. She didn't want to do this. Because you know it spells disaster. It's too early. And if they can't prove what they say is categorically true, then guess what? We sing Hail to the Chief in honor of Donald Trump in 2021 when he gets sworn in. That's the deal. And I'm glad that they have done this. The Democrats have fallen into yet another trap. But it's like Haman building the gallows for Mordecai. Haman ended up hanging in the gallows he made for Mordecai. It may well be that the Democrats here simply hang in the gallows they made for Trump. So fast to rush to an impeachment inquiry and having the media just go absolutely bananas on this. Man, I felt like throwing a brick through Chris Cuomo's face on TV at this Burger King. The guy is just spewing out lies and hatred. I just had, look, hey, the burger wasn't that good. I got out of there to late grade the rest of my grandson. Hey, give it to Mikey. He'll eat it. Well, anyway, they fall into another trap. They used to trip over their own feet, but now their noses have grown so much they're going to trip over their own schnozzes before this thing is done. And to me, that's absolutely good news. And to prove to you just how subterranean these people are, the Democrats on this committee, they, in passing the resolution, included a loophole that, guess what, allows the committee to reject any and all witnesses requested by the White House. This is the Star Chamber, folks. The Star Chamber is that inquisitorial executionary body of old England where you had no civil rights. It's one of the reasons we ended up with things, well, I ended up with, ultimately with the United States. You can't have justice where the system itself is rigged. You know, this is amazing because they say this is a loop, that they've created this own loophole. A loophole isn't an accident, folks. A loophole is created by design. It's meant, a loophole is there by whoever's drafting the legislation to create activity in, around, and through the loophole. You see, in the tax code, let's say that people contend that taking a depreciation deduction for investment real estate is a loophole. No, it's not a loophole. Congress has it in there purposefully so as to create and incentivize the investment in income-producing real estate. And one of the reasons that they do that, they give a tax break to incentivize that behavior. It's not an accident. It's designed to funnel activity through that loop. And this just simply is no difference. You know what? I'm a lawyer, but I also serve as a judge now, a part-time judge. And I know some of the rules here as to what you can and can't do. And I will tell you, to have anything even closely related to a trial, anything even remotely close to justice, anything remotely close to the Constitution, the republic upon which it stands, anything could remotely close to all the things that have been fought for and in theory we continue today to cherish, none of that would accommodate a kangaroo court where only one side gets to bring in its witnesses and the other side doesn't get to bring in any. Now, I will tell you, I don't have a trial in the near future. I have a hearing coming up. And if in that hearing, the state of Arizona presented its witnesses, and then the defense has an opportunity, the state rests its case, the defense now has an opportunity to call its witnesses, and I said, no, you don't get to call any witnesses. Well, why not? Because I've just decided that only the state can have witnesses, and I will base my decision entirely upon what the prosecution has said. So, defendant and your counsel, get lost, you couple of punks. I can't think of anything more blatantly unfair, unpatriotic, unchristian. Say unchristian? Yes. Absolutely. In scripture it says you don't execute anybody except on at least two or three witnesses. Well, you've got witnesses that were always allowed under the Greek system and typically in the Roman system. It was only the high priest when Jesus said, yes, I am he. I'm God, basically. He got interrogated by the high priest. And the high priest said, what need we have of any other witnesses? He just threw out justice. Of course, if there were justice in the case of Jesus, of course, he'd be exonerated, and all the Pharisees and Sadducees that were trying to hang him would be dead, right? If there were justice. But this wasn't a time for justice. This was a time for mercy. God, in his love for us, declared, as he said in Micah, that mercy triumphs over justice. Mercy triumphs over justice. So that's why Jesus went to the cross. Now, there will be justice someday, and if you're still on the earth, when Jesus and all the saints return at the very last, the tail end of the tribulation, we return and come back with Jesus, as it says in Revelation 19. There will be justice. There'll be a major slaughter, but it'll be for the right reasons. There'll be all the witnesses. But coming to this point, you cannot have anything that even remotely smacks of being constitutional or justice-based when you get to decide who can testify and who can't. It is just that sick. It is just that sorry. I mean, it just is. And then Nancy Pelosi, in an effort to save her political neck, because she's caught in a quandary here, and it's tough for a woman who's mentally as challenged as Nancy, because we all know where she is most of the time. She's in a line somewhere waiting for a brain donor. But she said nobody comes to Congress to impeach a president. End quote. Oh, really, Nancy? Then why have you and your little buddies, all your little chums, spent the entire time and gazillions of dollars in taxpayer money to try to impeach a president, to try to undo an election? What do you mean? It's exactly the reason many Democrats came to Congress in 2018. And listen to their speeches. They're all there to get Trump. That is the very reason they came to Congress, was to dump Trump. They made it clear, obvious. Their campaign ads reveal it if you went through them. And then Pelosi is either just stupid enough, or she has such a faulty memory, or more likely, in this case, she just knows the media will never call her to accountability. She has the audacity to say, nobody comes to Trump. Nobody comes to Congress to impeach a president. Kevin McCarthy, one of the best congressmen there is, and I'm proud to say he's from California, from a conservative area, one of the few that are left in California. He said the Democrats have moved towards impeaching Donald Trump because, quote, they are scared they can't beat him at the ballot box. How true it is. Okay, you know, I vowed that I wouldn't talk about Hillary Rodham Clinton, but she just keeps sticking her derriere back into the news, and I think periodically we just have to lop it off in the name of humanity and all that's fair and just. So she keeps sticking herself. She still can't get over the loss. We all know that. She's blamed everybody in the world for her loss. A couple days ago, she blamed her loss on a group of fifth graders wearing MAGA hats hanging around a couple of polling booths in Michigan. That's satire. That she didn't really go that far, but she isn't far from going that far. Obviously, the woman is nuts. She belongs in an institution, but that institution actually is prison, is the appropriate institution for her. But I mention that only because of this other news, which has so quickly faded, dealing with Jeffrey Epstein, and I hope this is the last time I talk about Epstein, as it is the last time I hopefully talk about Hillary Clinton, and that is now that the medical examiner has indicated that from the autopsy of Epstein that it's more likely more consistent that with homicidal strangulation than suicide. That's right. I'll quote the medical examiner. Says, I think that the evidence points toward homicide rather than suicide. How about that? So the question is, who did it? Do we have any questions? Do we have any real concerns here? Well, I would say, based upon Hillary Rodham Clinton's tweet, that she expressed her condolences about Epstein's death the day before he died, that maybe she might be a suspect. Now, okay, I'm sorry. That's satirical also. Been reading the Babylon Bee too much. Anyway, well, the cameras malfunctioned, the guards went to sleep, the cellmate has been removed. I mean, blah, blah, blah. It's the same old with the Clintons. I hope that this story says goodbye to them forever. Even Bill Maher, a leftist, said, why can't the Clintons just finally say goodbye and go away? All right, I want to turn to something here because this is going to lead to a biblical analysis of something dealing with what happens on this planet that might genuinely reflect God's judgment. A touchy subject, huh? I touched on this a long time ago, 2000? Man, I don't know what it was. It was Katrina, 2005, 2007. I can't even remember. And at that time, and I still do, I'm absolutely convinced, I may be well wrong, but I'm just personally convinced that Katrina was an act of judgment by God. And in part because the day after the following day was supposed to be the opening of the Festival of Decadence, where 125,000 queers celebrated debauchery in all of its form. And the mayor of New Orleans, I can't think of the guy's name. He was always talked about being chocolate. I can't think of his name now. But gave him the keys to the city. Gave him the keys to the city for the Festival of Decadence. God seems to have said, no, you don't. And, of course, the word Katrina means, do you know what it means? Anybody out there? Yes, I see that hand. Now, it means cleansing. Isn't that interesting? They named a hurricane cleansing before they had any idea just what it was going to cleanse. So, I want to turn my attention for a bit in this context to California and the fires. And I got to do a little bit of a lead in here because the leftists just went wild, giddy over the prospect that a wildfire in Simi Valley at the Reagan Library, which incidentally you ought to go see if you're in California, it is very well worth it. It is great. It is a fabulous library. Now, I saw it before Air Force One was there, but I saw the stuff that really mattered. But anyway, the leftists were just giddy over the possibility that the fire was going to burn the Reagan Library. So let's suppose Obama's place in Washington, D.C. caught on fire, and you had a bunch of people out there chanting, burn, baby, burn, or that song put out by from the 60s called Fire. I can't even remember who did it. Well, of course, we would all be racist in that case, even though Obama's half white, but it doesn't matter whether he's white, black, or whatever. If he's on the left, he's a darling of the left. But this is what the left does. So Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, who absolutely loves abortion, blood on his teeth, that's why I call him Gavin Newsom, has said that it's greedy capitalism and climate change that is causing all the California fires. Greedy capitalism and climate change. That's interesting, because a little while back it was global warming and George Bush that caused everything, to be replaced by climate change and Donald Trump that's the cause of everything wrong, which is now greedy capitalism and climate change is the cause. You see, they attach alleged climate change to every disaster and everything that's gone wrong. It's probably climate change as a result of those fifth graders with the mega hats around the polling booths in Michigan. Well, they have to have climate change into every accusation, because when the other conspirator, be it greedy capitalism, be it George Bush, be it Donald Trump, when that part of the story is proven wrong, they can always say, Well, I was at least partly right on this. And actually, I meant climate change was the primary cause. They do this all the time. Well, Jerry Brown jumps on the bandwagon here. He says the Republican Party is responsible for the ongoing California fires because of their opposition to climate change policies. Let me read you his quote. He says, quote, "The blood is on your," meaning Republicans, "soul here, and I hope you wake up, because this is not politics. This is life. This is morality. This is real." Now, for starters, it's absolutely hilarious, by my way of thinking, that the left would stand up and preach morality. Now, you know, I mean, like one person said to me in a debate one time, so do you think you can just come in here? You sound like you're just simply trying to impose your morality upon us. And my response was, well, by your answer, it sounds like you are insisting on having the right to impose your immorality on all of us. Well, that wasn't very popular with the crowd, but I felt good about it. I felt like, hey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the anointing of that comment. Didn't come from me. I'm not that smart. Point here is California has burned for decades. It's always been dry. It's always gets hot in September and October and November. They have always had the sundowner, the Santa Ana winds. Santa meaning desert winds. The Cedar Fire. And I was in San Diego when this happened in the very early 2000s. At that time, I think it was the largest fire in California's history. If I'm not mistaken, just under, a million acres or something? No, it wasn't that much. But it was huge. It was huge. That fire, which was produced by, a lightning strike, not climate change, a lightning strike, produced more carbon dioxide than all of the cars and all of the trucks and all of the trains and all of the planes in the entire United States for an entire year. This is what a bunch of buffoons, this pile of hooey is that they keep throwing at us with climate change. The Getty Fire, which is the one which, you know, it's in the Tony Getty neighborhood by the Getty Museum in downtown L.A. What was its cause? Climate change? No. It was a tree branch that was blown by high winds onto power lines. So quoting Breitbart here, they say critics fault California's utility companies for spending money on complying with green initiatives rather than on burying power lines. Others cite homeless camps where past fires have started and poor forest remanagement policies that have barred the clearing of brush that can provide fuel for wildfires. You see, there's all kinds of other things that have caused, are the major cause of the fires. Weed whackers hitting rocks, close to number one. Cigarette butts. How about arson, of which the suspects are both illegals and or Islamics? Right? We had a big fire near where we lived in California, and what was it started by? By pot growers. See, it just goes on and on. But I'm not to the point of whether or not these fires could possibly be an act of God's judgment. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358.
I thank my dog's a Democrat. And it breaks my heart to have to say an ugly thing like that. But there's a big old pile of evidence that all points towards the fact my dog might be a Democrat.
This is Rob Walter. We are back with Red Sky Radio talking about California only as a teaching point, only as an example of whether or not this action, this activity, all this burning winds and people fleeing and 2 million without power, could it be a judgment from God? Now, keep in mind, first of all, that sin always has its own consequences, right? If you smoke enough, you get lung cancer. If you drink enough, you get cirrhosis of the liver. You smoke pot, your brain fries, and you go on to other drugs. They're just consequences to sinful behavior. If you're going to run around and sleep with a whole bunch of women, you're probably going to get a disease, lose your marriage, lose your house, lose your family, all that kind of stuff. There are simply consequences. But are there times when there is a consequence that is the result of God's judgment? Now, I was talking about California and the fact that it's ablaze. And in fact, it's actually liberal policies that have really made this more devastating. And Gavin Newsom, who's contending that it's greedy capitalism and climate change. And the greedy capitalism he's talking about is Pacific Gas and Electric. And he singles them out. In fact, he says, quote, "It's more than just climate change. It's more than that. As it relates to Pacific Gas and Electric, it's about this dog-eat-dog capitalism meeting climate change. It's about corporate greed meeting climate change." So we run into climate change no matter what it is, but he's talking about greed and greedy capitalism. This is what most people don't know, what the papers won't reveal, because they love Gavin Newsom. But the fact is, Gavin Newsom's coffers are filled and lined with Pacific Gas and Electric contributions. Absolutely. They've given a ton to Newsom. So, if Pacific Gas and Electric is a greedy capitalistic party, and they gave money to Gavin Newsom, doesn't that make Gavin Newsom then a greedy politician? Because he exercised no restraint, no discernment, no morals in accepting the money from the greedy capitalists? I guess by default, that would then make him a greedy politician. And I think that is a correct analysis. This woman, forgot her first name, Divine is her last name here, wrote an op-ed piece in the New York Times. She said, listen, you got the largest state in the country, the seventh biggest economy in the world, and it's like a third world country now with no power, and it's ablaze. Every tree is treated as sacred. Then they become tinder. There's so much fuel on the ground, they become these incredible explosive fires. Instead of just going through, as every wildfire expert does, and burn it regularly to keep it under control. But these policies that they have, the carbon emissions stuff and so forth, she said this backfires, but they don't care. The state of California are like arsonists coming back to admire their own handiwork. Interesting. So we know the state's been screwed up for a long time and fights with New York and for pole position, sort of in the race to hell. And as James Madison says, you get the government you deserve. And there's a lot of sin that just bears out its own consequences. And if what we have here is just stupid forest policies, because every tree is sacred, and it is, and you can't accomplish effective forest management, you're going to have these huge fires. Look, folks, the temperatures were not unusually high in California. Had higher than average winds, but they come and go. Santa Ana's are always strong. Some are stronger than others, but not unusually warm. Nothing. There's no climate change component in these events that relates to temperature. There's no climate change event that relates to a lack of moisture. The fact of the matter is, California had a ton of rain. And a ton of rain produced a bunch of growth, which now is not sustained by water, and combined with their bad forestry policies leads to these fires, all of which the politicians, of course, who are responsible for it, want to blame Donald Trump, greedy capitalism, and climate change. Now, I know this state is sort of stuck on stupid, and when I want to get to this judgment part of it, but while I'm reading this about the state, I get the note, the blurb, and I checked it out, that California passed a bill legalizing the eating of roadkill. That's right. You know, you remember that song, you know, crossing the highway late last night, didn't look left, didn't look right, then came along a station wagon car, the skunk got squashed, and there you are. I don't know who sang it, dead skunk in the middle of the road. Well, you know what? You can eat those dead skunks now. You can eat the dead possums. You can eat whatever was slithering or crawling across the highway in California apparently now, because you can eat roadkill. The irony of this is Californians and New Yorkers make fun of the South. They make fun of the Midwest. They make fun of the Mountain West to an extent. And why? They call it flyover country, right? All you want to really do is catch a plane between woke cities. Woke cities, yeah? L.A. to New York, San Francisco to Boston, what have you. And just ignore, go to sleep, pull the shade down so you don't have to look out over what they call flyover country. They make fun of Southerners, and you know what? The Southerners don't eat roadkill, not like Californians apparently want to. I'm getting a side here, but I feel like saying this. Not that long ago, I ate in a great little restaurant called the Bell Buckle Cafe in Bell Buckle, Tennessee. Cute little town, great little restaurant. One of the things I noticed as I was eating there and waiting for my food, that virtually everybody at almost every table prayed a blessing over their food. You know, I never saw that in California. I mean, if I saw somebody bow their head, it was because they were looking for a fly in their pea soup. You know what? You just didn't see it. I mean, I did in 30 years. Yes, I did, but not like in the South. And even in the South, they make fun of people that would eat roadkill. I remember that this cafe had a little sign. It said something about featuring some of Tennessee Highway's finest. I remember this little slogan they had. It says, "You kill it, we'll grill it." And I don't remember all the items on the menu. I remember some that just sort of struck me. One was smidgen of pigeon. They had the chicken that didn't make it across the road. That's why I remember these things. They were funny. Road toad a la mode. And one of my favorites, rigor mortis tortoise. Okay, see, even the South are making fun of roadkill. California makes fun of the South, but turns around and does things that they accuse the South of that the South doesn't do, but then they go do it. So, all right, I went astray. The issue of judgment. Could this be judgment on California? The answer is yes, it could be. I am not saying it is, but the state has become so evil and so wicked and so unsafe for any child. It's a worse place for a child in the country, either being in the womb or being in a government school classroom. It's you are endangered as a child in California in two very distinct situations. And the extent of the immorality is beyond question. So let's go to the Bible. I do not have the time, although I should probably do a program on it. I could. Well, I did. I just haven't done it in a while. On the number of times pestilence is mentioned in the Bible and the high percentage of times that pestilence was judgment. The same about drought. The same about famine. Is every famine in Scripture the result of God's judgment? No. Drought caused famines in numerous situations where there was no stated connection with any particular event or activity. It is not always there, but many times it was. There is no question that Israel's relationship with God affected the fertility of the land, if you will. When the people obeyed God, the land was productive. You can read that in Deuteronomy 11. You want the exact quote, Deuteronomy 11, 11 through 14. But when they disobeyed, judgment came on the land by drought, by famine, i.e. lack of rainfall, which the consequence then was a lack of food, but lack of rainfall here is being contended in global warming, heating, drying, burning, you get the thing, is being blamed for everything. And yet that judgment came on Israel, that very judgment, the drought, the famine. It doesn't have fires because the sand won't burn. Anyways, that wasn't the issue. But there was judgment that God visited by way of what we call natural disasters, which they, the Democrats, are contending to be man-made global warming. And if you don't believe me, you can check out Deuteronomy 11, 16 and 17, 1 Kings, you better write fast, 8 and 35, Jeremiah 14, 16, 1 through 6, verse 12, 2 Samuel 21, 1, 1 Kings 17, 1, 2 Kings 8, 1. I can go on and on, folks. These are all the places where natural disasters were not that natural. They were supernatural disasters. Now, when I first did this program, it was after Katrina, and I took some heat and flack, and typically the flack comes from so-called clergy, because they say, well, you can't say that. And I said, well, I didn't say it absolutely, but it does say that God has visited natural disasters because of sin on certain people in certain areas. 2 Peter, it says Sodom and Gomorrah. They got torched as an example to all those who afterward would live ungodly. Fire and brimstone came down on, who was that, Korah? Korah's rebellion? No, they were the ones that got swallowed up. That natural disaster where the earth opened up and swallowed them. You see, the global warming, these events have always occurred in Scripture, which they are blaming on global warming, right? So if these events occurred in Scripture, what was the global warming going on then? Is it because not only did Lot and Abraham have so many animals that they had to part, they had so many animals that the animal and bovine flatulence was destroying the ozone layer back in whatever it was, B.C. You see, this is how nonsensical it is. But their pastors were on me because of a passage in Luke, because in Luke 7, where Jesus said, the Tower of Siloam, which fell over and killed 18 people. Do you think that it fell over and killed them because they were more sinful than others? And Jesus basically says, no, but unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. So the proposition of these individuals was that you can't say that that God judges people or areas or regions based on sin using this passage. And this is bogus theology, as in no theology. All Jesus said is because simply a disaster happened or an accident has occurred, simply because it's occurred, you cannot draw a direct line to sin. Any more than somebody who dies in a plane crash, it's because they sinned. Or a mother and her two daughters are killed in a car accident from a drunk driver because the mother or one or both of the 2 5-year-old daughters sinned. He said, no, you can't do that, but you're all going to perish. And unless you repent, and then you'll live, you know, with me forever. That's the point he was making. But that's a far different point than to say God never judges anyone in this life at any time or any area for its sin. He does, and he has, and Scripture points that out. Now, can I say that California is suffering a judgment from God? Obviously, I cannot say that for a fact. I'm not God. Is it a possibility? Biblically speaking, yes, it is. It also could just simply be that they're reaping the results of their own gross foolishness at the legislative level. But there's one thing I want to finish this point with. The purpose of God's judgments back then and now, isn't he the same yesterday, today, and forever? So if he's judged peoples and areas and nations in the past, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, would he not be doing the same today? And then that would mean that if he's judging people today, some of the time it is judgment, then it's with the same purpose as he judged Israel for its sins by way of so-called natural disasters, which, of course, are supernatural disasters. It's for one reason. was to bring them to repentance. Write these down, 1 Kings 8, 35 and 36, and Amos 4, 6 through 8. Those are just a couple of them. The purpose is to bring people to repentance. But the way things typically are, typically, they don't repent. They just finally have to crash and burn. I know of one, Nineveh. Nineveh repented even before anything befell it. They repented, but I just don't know of that too often. That's the one that comes to my mind. So there is the teaching today on the issue of judgment in the context of natural disasters. The best thing, in fact, the only thing California can do, and trust me, it'll spread to other states. If they don't get it right, the evil will ooze its way out of that state as it always does. But the best and really the only thing they can do as a state is to repent. You need a governor in that state who stands up there and confess the sins of the judges and the legislatures for decades in the state of California and ask God for mercy for and being merciful, bringing the state to its knees. And then now that they're on their knees, bringing mercy to them. And he will. It is the purpose of the judgment. It isn't just, hey, I think I really would like to spank the daylights out of California or Israel or New York or whoever, New Orleans. He's got a greater purpose in mind. He's not the kind of parent that waits for the kid to come home or can hardly wait to get home to spank his kids. No, it says, as I said earlier, mercy triumphs over judgment. So we're supposed to do justice and to love mercy. Do justice from the book of Micah. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before your God. So justice is something we do because we have to do. If I sentence somebody, which I have on the bench, it's not because I want to take them off at the knees with a rusty knife. It's because I have to do it. There's a lesson that needs to be taught that cannot really be taught another way. But what should the heart want to do? The heart should want to extend mercy. That's what God does to us. That's what we would be doing to others, should be doing to others. Oh, man, I'm so far behind in this program, but where am I going to go here? Well, something has come out here that just has really bothered me. No. I'm going to save that till next week here. I got to do that. I want to call this the sweet irony department because I need to conclude with what's going on in Congress here. I want to do that. This the Arizona chairman of the Democrat Party, Felicia Rodellini. I love the sweet irony here. She comes out the other day, and I got to quote this. This is just ridiculous. She says, another reason that people are going to vote because Donald Trump is manipulating that White House and has aligned himself with ISIS. Right? He's aligned himself with ISIS. This woman made this statement 1 hour before Donald Trump announced that ISIS leader had been removed, as in killed, as in executed. I love it when these kinds of irony things, when some kind of bozo head comes out and says nonsensical things like that, and in 60 minutes, she looks like the laughingstock of the country, and certainly the laughingstock of Democrats in Arizona who are trying to walk back that comment and distance themselves from this loser as fast as they can. But then you have the Washington Post articles about Baghdadi, al-Baghdadi. As one writer says, is this Big Daddy? And then I kind of think, well, yeah, you know, maybe his first name's Al. Al Big Daddy, right? Sounds like a used car salesman somewhere. Al Big Daddy. And, you know, he's way overweight, sells used cars. And I don't say that actually in a denigrating fashion towards used car salesmen, because it was my first job out of college. And I can tell you that in the fun department, I've never had more fun than selling used cars. I will admit it. I loved it. But the Washington Post calls al-Baghdadi, or al-Big Daddy here, you know, the austere religious scholar. The Democrats all over the place are lauding Baghdadi as some paragon of virtue. And why? because Trump killed him. So if Trump killed him, they got to be for him. I've said this before. If Trump wanted to get rid of abortion, all he's got to do is come out for it. And the Democrats are so hate-filled, they would decide that they need to push through pro-life measures. So the Dems just, they've kind of gone over their top. They went over the top. I got to point out the hypocrisy. The Democrats went over the top in their criticism of Trump pulling out of Syria. Right? Remember that? Just a week ago. I know it's old news now, but they were just, everybody bashed him for pulling out of Syria because why? They said this will mean the return of ISIS. So then he goes on and kills Baghdadi, or has him killed. And they all come out now and say that Baghdadi was some sort of religious scholar, some sort of cult hero. He did this and that. He wasn't that bad of a guy. And the reason we know that he wasn't a bad guy was because Trump killed him. Trump only kills good people. That is their rationale. That is their line of thinking. So and on one side of their mouth, they say that Trump pulling out of Syria is terrible because it's going to mean the return of ISIS. On the other hand, they say Trump is terrible because he killed the leader of ISIS. Do you see the duplicity, just the hypocrisy? I mean, when Trump kills the head henchman of ISIS, he kills ISIS's El Chapo. He kills the butcher of Baghdad. I mean, goodness sakes. Well, Susan Rice comes out, says that Trump really should have notified the Democrats. Trump really should have had a conversation with Barack Obama before he killed al-Baghdadi. Why? Why would you have any conference, any conversation, especially with highly confidential things, with people who have taken a vow of hatred toward you? People who lie about you at every turn, who have never spoken a word of truth since the 2016 election, who are filled with anger and rage to the point that that's what they feed on and are fueled by. You are supposed to go and consult with them. Why? So they can blow up your plans and save al-Baghdadi, the precious henchman of ISIS who Trump is supposedly bringing back to power by pulling out of Syria? I would tell you, you know, I told you before how the word Democrat got its name, right? It's like the Hatfields and the McCoys. A long time ago, there was this people group. They were called Democrats. They just weren't very smart. And then they intermingled and bred into a group called Democrats. They were very evil. So the Democrats, kind of like intermingling of the species, you get something weird whenever you do that. And they intermingled those who were dumb with those who were evil. And that's how you got Democrats. There's sort of in between. Okay. All right. So this program is filled with satire. But I thought for a long time that you could not be both dumb and evil. I've been proven wrong. I think there is a psychological diagnosis we could accurately call the moronic demonic. And it seems to have taken residence in that party. They are simply cockroaches who somehow in this whole Trump impeachment inquiry believe that they are immune at any level and at every level of accountability. And why? Because they think that they have paid off all the exterminators. The FBI, the DOJ, they, you know, go right on down the line. All the Benghazi, Fast and Furious, all the people that Obama easily and quickly weaponized against his political opponents. That was until there was a new sheriff in town. And that was Donald Trump. Trump is the new sheriff in town. Not so new anymore, but the problem is just because you're elected sheriff doesn't mean you get to have a new election for the town council. If the town council hates the sheriff after they find out what he's really like, and they're bent on evil, they will continue it. And so, hence, the deep state continues to wiggle, squirm, flare up, fire back, bloviate every issue they can. But then along comes something like this. Kanye West. Guy I don't really know, but now I'm learning about it. He gets saved. Justin Bieber, couldn't care less about Bieber's music, anything else. He gets saved. Who's the next one to get saved? Jerry Nadler? I don't know. Adam Schiff? He's got some work to do, but God can, he goes to the uttermost to save those that are the guttermost, right? You see, every time Satan thinks that he has got us down and out, he's got his heel on our neck, God will sovereignly pick those from among those that were in hostage and held bondage by the captivity to the enemy and bring them into his glorious light of salvation. And those individuals, like Kanye and Justin and whoever are going to follow, are going to be factors in God accomplishing his will and his purpose in this next election. Either Donald Trump will be reelected or the United States will be utterly without any recourse for its sin. There we are. Sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. See you next week.